Good afternoon, folks. This is Maurice Cerrone, transmitting in the A-Handy Manshaven radio studio on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. Welcome to the show. I invite many of you out there, if you would like to call in and let us know about what your do-it-yourself projects are, what you're working on, any questions you may have concerning that, we'll try to assist you in the answers, and we can inform the rest of the listeners as to what you're working on and the professional attitude that each of you are going to present according to your project and how good it's going to look when you're all finished. I've heard some do-it-yourselfers say, you know, I could do it twice and still save money. So you do it once, tear it apart, put it back together again. You do it the second time and it looks better than the first time and you still save money. So there's a lot to say about do-it-yourselfers and what they can accomplish. A-Handy Manshaven, located in Tucson at 1724 South 6th Avenue. That place is a six blocks south of 22nd Street. We're on the west side of the street with the big yellow building. Our hours of operation are from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Our phone number in Tucson is 520-624-7200. We do have a Green Valley location for those of you in the southern portion of the south portion of Arizona. Anybody that would like to come on up from Douglas or Nogales or Amato or places in that area, you can be serviced in our Green Valley location. That's the north end of Green Valley at 125 West Calle de los Tiendas, Suite 103. Our phone number on location is 520-369-4858. Hours of operation, normally between 8:30 in the morning to about 4 p.m. in the afternoon. So give us a call. We can do it, as we say, with a lot of things that are available. We also have excellent cabinet choices where we can design your dream kitchen for you with those cabinets, very professionally accomplished, and you can be on your way with your brand new kitchen. Just as a reminder, A-Handy Manshaven this past year has been selected as a Reader's Choice. That's Arizona Daily Star Reader's Choice Award winner in the best cabinets and countertops. We did pick up two other categories, which was a finalist or as a favorites, as they categorize that, in the best hardware store and the best home improvement store from that standpoint. So two other categories that we are very proud to be associated with. And in many of those, we do have a tremendous amount of hardware available for cabinetry, doors and things of that nature, which we can assist you with, handles and knobs for the doors and drawer fronts itself. Cabinet modifications, as we've talked about in the past, and I do emphasize that because a lot of people are just not aware of the cabinet modifications that are available. Many of them can be accomplished in the home, in your existing cabinet structure, if you do want to pick up a lot of organizational equipment. We do carry some in stock. We can also get them within about a week and can assist you in that type of activity. Such things as trash container systems, pull-out systems for spice racks, storage of utensils. We can do roll-out trays. You can go online, as an example, to hardwareresources.com. That's hardwareresources.com. See all the things that are available in that location, and we can get any one of those items that are present there. You can also go to the RevaShelf company, Rev being R-E-V-A, and then shelf, .com. You can get another high-powered dose, so to speak, of all sorts of organizational equipment for the kitchen, for workrooms, for laundry rooms, for your craft shop, your office space, or whatever you may like to have those. We've also created created many of our own at Ahandy Manshaven, and we can take our affordable cabinet line, which is very, very affordable from that standpoint. Many customers have indicated to us that they are some of the lowest-priced cabinets in Tucson or southern Arizona, and we proud ourselves in being very mindful of what the cost of our cabinetry is and what we can accomplish with that cabinetry to make it look like the more expensive line of cabinetry. We also do things as putting rollout tray systems or drawers, as some people may want to call them, in cabinetry above 36 inches. So that's a 39-inch width cabinetry, the 42s, 45s, and up to the 48s. We do have rollout trays that are available. And we have been accomplishing a lot of that lately with many customers in providing for them brand new drawer boxes and also improving the strength of the drawer box itself or the rollout tray box. They're really basically one of the same. It depends on what's on the front of it, and give them strong stability for what they may want to accomplish. It's not uncommon when you're working with flatware and pots and pans, and especially the cast iron pots and pans, that the amount of weight that you put in those, that it may require that you think about going from the standard Teflon type of extraction or pull-out, roll-out systems to the ball-bearing glide systems itself. They're much better with the ball-bearing glides. It works very professionally. They're also full extension glides. And a do-it-yourselfer is well qualified to install these from that standpoint. Any one of our modifications, if you'd just like to purchase the equipment for it, we can set you up with the equipment, and we can instruct you on the little areas that you need to be concerned with when you want to do it at home. Most of these items can be done with existing cabinetry without removing them. So you could come down to the store, tell us what you're interested in, or ask us what you would like, and we can help you get it set up for the purchase. Then you can take it home and do the installation yourself and save yourself a considerable amount of money. We're coming up to our first break, and after that, we'll get back with some more things that Ahandy Manshaven accomplishes. Presently, we are on AM 1030, The Voice, with your local news and talk. And folks, our production engineer today is the famous John Couch, and his excellent handling of all the switches and knobs and twistings and things like that on the board. So, John, please take it away. If I had a hammer, I think I'd be hammering all day long, and sometimes I have done that. I am Maurice from Ahandy Manshaven, transmitting in the yours truly, Ahandy Manshaven Radio Studio on AM 1030, The Voice, with trusted local news and talk. For those of you that we talked this week in the store, I thank you very much for the conversation. It's been most enjoyable. Those of you that visited, I appreciate that very much. And we'll give you a tour of the store when you come on down. Just ask us about that, that you're a listener to the program. And that is one of the things that we can offer you and show you our capability and what we accomplish from that standpoint. So in the previous segment, we end up getting close to talking about countertops, and I'd like to discuss a little bit with you about some countertops. But before I get involved in that, I'd like to mention some information concerning a phone call that I received this past week at the store. The subject of the phone call, as the message was passed over to me, was that somebody called and was interested in discussing with us about a project in the vicinity of the University of Arizona. And I thought, oh, that's pretty intriguing. That could be a multitude of things. So I called a number, and unbeknownst to me, the first thing I received, which I didn't think was out of the ordinary, was I received an answering service. And when I asked for the extension that they asked for, he says, the individual that came on the line, it was a he, said, well, I'll try to locate that person for you. And I thought that was pretty interesting. Normally when you get an answering service, it could be that maybe the phone lines are busy. It was about 7 o'clock in the morning, And it turns out that the phone line wasn't busy, but he just intercepted the phone call as it came in and then forwarded it over to the individual that I needed to talk to. Well, it turns out that it was not necessarily, I guess, what I would consider an opportunity for me or a handyman's haven. It was an opportunity for them. And that amounted to that they were selling ads in a program booklet for the University of Arizona home basketball games. And John is over there laughing. Have you heard about it, John? He's shaking his head no. Well, I hadn't heard about it neither. So I kept probing with many, many questions concerning that. And with the summation of the phone conversation, of which I won't tell you about how long it lasted, but it was going to cost me, as an example, anywhere from $2,000 for the 16 home games up to $14,500 to invest in this program whereby I can have from an eighth of a page, which was a $2,000 one, up to 14.5, which happened to be a full page. And that these are programs that were for sale at the University of Arizona basketball games, and that they would be distributed to various businesses in Tucson that would also sell these programs at $5 each. And so I asked, you know, where does this money go? And they says, well, it goes right back to the University of Arizona. So I, after posing many more questions concerning this, and, you know, I indicated that if I had an interest, I'll give you a call back and so on and so forth. So I called a friend of mine that is an avid University of Arizona football and basketball attendee. And he says, oh, how interesting. He says, the programs are free when you walk in and they're passed out to you. And so this is sort of supporting my claim in this case that there's something really amiss with this. After I got through with a large discussion with him about, you know, the placement of an eighth of an inch ad, he wanted to know how many I was going to buy. And I says, well, surely I'm going to buy about a full page ads, maybe a couple of them. So that'd be about $29,000 I was going to spend. And he sort of laughed and chuckled. But anyway, after the conversation was over with the organization, I called the University of Arizona, talked to the athletic department, got a hold of the marketing division of the athletic department. And they knew nothing of any such at all. And he supported the information that the programs are handed out free. And if any advertising was going to be done, it was going to be done by the Wildcat Advertising Division or the Media Division. I can't remember what they call it at the present time. So, folks, if you're ever involved in a phone call like that, heads up. Be suspicious of what's taking place. And do your due diligence and you may want to let the University of Arizona know that this thing is prevailing. The other thing I thought was interesting, that I could sell the programs in my store and then I would have to collect and verify all the money and then turn it over to the University of Arizona. So, and the University of Arizona knew nothing about this. So I can see walking in with maybe a couple hundred dollars of programs I've sold and what's all this for, you know, and they would probably gladly take it, but would probably be embarrassed at the same time. So anyway, heads up on something like that, as the University of Arizona by this company is being utilized in a way that may not be appropriate for the University of Arizona. So countertops, getting back to countertops. So in one of the trade magazines that I acquired at A Handyman's Haven, they have a big article as what is hot in countertops. So I thought that was interesting. I don't know whether the placement in the article has anything to do with the placement of what is hot in sales. That is one way to interpret these items, but the article doesn't say that that is the case. But quartz countertops are surely a hot item today. Mainly because they're what we call an engineered countertop. They are actually made from natural particles of the earth, which happens to be quartz, which are mined. And these companies are Very, very adequate in their production of countertops and how good they are. They are antimicrobial, which means they're hyperallergenic. They're non-porous. They do not stain. They do not develop algae and mold because of the lack of porosity of the countertops. Such companies as the Cosentino Company, which is out of Spain, they've added some new colors this year. The Handstone quartz countertop, which is from the Hanwha Company out of Korea. You have Hymax or the Viaterra product, which is from LG. Many of us know that from appliances and also from electronics. They are one of the world's largest chemical companies, like DuPont is of the United States company. So there's many, many quartz countertops that are available, and all of those are really excellent countertops from that standpoint, especially since they're basically maintenance-free, they're stain-resistant, and they're antimicrobial, which means that they're not going to be able to build up mold and algae like all natural stone products are going to be able to build up. There is a company called Federal Brace. They also do a lot of hardware, but one of their major expertise is in stainless steel countertops, especially for islands. Islands could be of many different sizes. We also have some local companies that can produce stainless steel countertops for you. So that's very, very important from that standpoint. There are stone and glass countertops available from several companies. Those are considered eco-friendly countertops. You may be interested in those. It seems strange in a way that they're using reclaimed or recycled merchandise. However, the countertops are more expensive. We do have some down there with some brown chips in them. They happen to be glass from bottles. And when a customer asks about that, I very nonchalantly inform you, see that little brown piece right there in the countertop? I says, that was the last Bohemia beer that I drank, and they busted up the bottle. And so it's a reminder that I'm drinking beer that came out of Mexico in that case. And really, it's a pretty good beer. The laminate countertops are still one of the mainstay prevailing type countertops. And why are they prevailing? One of the major companies that we all know about from the 1900s is Formica. Since then, there's two or three or four other companies that produce laminate countertops in various surfaces that are available, and they are excellent. They're so excellent, as an example, that they can last a long period of time when you take care of them. They're stain-resistant. They're easy to keep clean and wash. They're antimicrobial. They're non-porous, and they're extremely low maintenance. So if you can take a dish rag as an example and wipe it across the countertop, you got it made. You don't have to worry about the soaps or bleaches or any sanitizing liquids that you may use and impregnate in your countertop. And we are one of the leaders in selling laminate countertops in southern Arizona. We probably average somewhere between 2,000 to 3,000 linear feet of countertops per week. We get deliveries once a week, offloading 35 to 50 countertops per week. Most of these countertops are 12 feet long. We do size the purchases according to where they're going to be used, such as in islands, or are they going to be used on a regular kitchen countertop or a craft center room, a laundry room, vanities and bathrooms and things of that nature. A beautiful countertop. It's still the mainstay of the countertop industry. And for 10 feet of countertops, you can get that for $90 at A. Handyman's Haven. All straight cuts are complimentary. And if you need to have the finishing products in order to accomplish that, we can sell it to the DIYers that have the capability of installing them and finishing off the countertop. Or we can do that for a slight upcharge. The mainstay of the countertop is laminate from that standpoint. So those are some of the things that are available in countertops. They call them hot items for this year in the trade magazine. However, they've been hot items since the 1990s, and that is something really to think about as far as the countertops go. An excellent program. One of the other things I'm going to talk about is remodeling in the United States from that standpoint. So one of our trade magazines, which happens to be associated with remodeling quite extensively, and so I'm just going to whet your appetite as we talk about remodeling and what's occurring in the industry. We're coming upon the end of our second segment, and Mr. John over there is ready to move forward with AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. Welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show. I'm Maurice Cerrone from Ahaney Manshaven. I'm transmitting in the Ahaney Manshaven Radio Studio on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. So I sort of whet the appetite at the end of the last segment concerning remodeling. And remodeling, as everybody knows, especially in the trades themselves, the plumbers, the electricians, the countertop people, cabinet people, remodeling in itself generally, tearing out walls, putting new beams in, whatever it may happen to be, has been accelerating at a rapid pace. In fact, it's been so rapid to a certain extent. And of course, this is all relative. As a result of the 2007-2008 crunch that we just went through, many of the craftsmen have departed and gone to other locations in order to make the sufficient money they need in order to live. So consequently, what has been left in the Southern Arizona region has been extremely taxed in the availability. I know I've mentioned this in the past, that people have even come to me and wanted to know if there's anybody that they could hire in order to do the work that needs to be done. As a result of that, a lot of people are still, as we would say, journeymen in the business. They do have some experience on what end of the hammer to hold and what end of the saw to use. But when it comes to the finer expertise of applying that trade to the installation of cabinetry or doing flooring or tile setting or whatever it may happen to be, they may be inexperienced in the certain challenges that may come about. So the trades themselves, as far as remodeling goes, as a general indicator, this is a source that has been published by the Joint Center for Housing Studies. There has been a steady rise from the fourth quarter of 2017 up to the present time period. And even in the second quarter and the third quarter of 2019, there has been a definite rise from that standpoint. So that's fairly good from in that area. But as we move forward, the fourth quarter of this year, they do anticipate a decline of some nature. How extensive it will be, one that never knows. It's rather difficult to pick out from the media. As an example, when one part of the media says that things are going to be into a heavy, deep recession, and the other part of the media comes back on and says, well, we've just put up a quarter of a million people that have just gone to work, or 100,000 or so, whatever it may happen to be, but the people are still finding jobs and going to work, and the brand new jobs are being created. And even as a result of that, wages are rising, benefits are rising from that standpoint. So it makes you wonder what is really taking place out there to accomplish what they're saying and understand what they're saying. Needless to say, it's probably fairly complex unless you really get involved in reading certain blogs or informational pieces that are very close to what is happening in the industry. But they do forecast a certain decline. That is not very much. They're talking about, 0.4% by the end of 2020. That doesn't seem to be very significant from the present. As everybody knows, everything fluctuates on a daily, weekly, quarterly, monthly, whatever it may happen to be basis, and things do go up and down. It's sort of like the gas in your automobile. It goes down when you use it, and it goes up when you fill the tank. So, c'est la vie, that's the way it goes, and we'll all adjust to it as time goes on. We have to be aware of what is taking place, that so we can understand, move forward, and make the appropriate decisions from that standpoint. I'd like to talk a little bit now about some tips. They're classified in one of the trade magazines as sticky situations, and I thought that was interesting. There's a lot of things around a home that we end up with thrown away, and I'll have to admit that I'm part of this at times period because I don't know what to do with so many of these things and nobody is requesting them. But if you take a look at the what's left over when you're using your toilet paper, you got that little paper or cardboard round cylinder. And what can you use those things for? You can probably dream of a lot more different things, but one item that's important in a craftsman standpoint is that you may have a lot of round items, or you may, like dowels as an example. You may have maybe even some pins as an example, or you may have some pieces of steel or pieces of aluminum that are very long and lengthy, and you want to figure out how you're going to captivate those so they don't go spaying all over the place. So you could use the little cylinder that's left over, slide those items into the cylinder, and if you want, you can even provide some tape, such as masking tape or packing tape or something to hold them in position. And then you can go ahead and store them away without having 8, 10, 15 of these long 3-foot dowels rolling all over the place on you. And you get mad and you start throwing them, or you think they're darts, and you et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So keep that in mind from that standpoint. A good aids for utilizing equipment that's still around. Another thing that I use quite regularly at home is garbage bags. You know, where are you going to get your garbage bags at? Well, we have in our home, we have little garbage containers in many rooms. And since we do take some of our clothes to the cleaners and get them taken care of, they always come back in some plastic bags that protects the clothing that had gone to the cleaners. And those bags themselves, by tying a knot in one end of it, and you got the other end that's open, it's a pretty good situation of lining your trash cans, whereby when you get ready to clean out your home of extra trash that you may have around, you can grab those and open them up again and put all the other ones in as you collect them from one room as you go to the other room and march right out to the garbage can and put them in a garbage can. And, of course, if you have some extras hanging around, hopefully you do, you can line your trash cans back with those, and you'll be ready for the next operation. So another utilization of something that would most people would throw away. I do know that some of the extra clothing that I receive on hangers, as an example, we take them down to the store and use them in the small little trash cans that we have situated at each desk. Very economical to use from that standpoint. And what that means is that we don't have to buy these big 15, 20-gallon trash cans. And from that standpoint, we're saving money considerably from there. Sanding any type of an item. Many of us woodworkers are sanding quite regularly, be it with belt sanders, with rotary sanders, with orbital sanders, by hand sanders, or various other machinery type equipment, that if you really want to remove the items that you need to, you can put on a higher or a lower grit number, because sandpaper, like gauges of steel, the lower the number, the thicker the, of course, steel is different in that case. The higher the number in steel, the more thickness it is. The lower the number in steel. I think it's the other way around. The lower the number in steel, the thicker it is. The higher number of steel, the thinner it is. In sandpaper, it's the same way. The lower the number is the heavier the grit. The higher the number is the finer of the sand that's on the tape on the paper. So red garnet sandpaper is probably the most desirable in holding everything together from that standpoint. But the deeper or heavier the grit, the lower the number, will obviously remove a lot more wood product than the finer grits will. However, don't jump from the heavy grit, the lower the number, to the higher the number right away. You do need to build up in sequences. So if you're going to start with a 40 grit, you may want to go to 60 grit, and then you want to maybe go to a 100 grit, then maybe 120, and build on up till you can get to 600 or 800 or whatever you need to get. I do know that on one of the countertops, which was a solid surface countertop that we have on display at the store, it has an extremely polished surface. It was a Corian-type product. Actually, it was manufactured by LG in their Hymax division. And it took the installers that to put the countertop on over 8 hours in order to polish the countertop. The grit that they used was up in the microgrit range, about 1,500 to 2,000 microgrit, as it's called. The fine dust that was developed had to be contained with vacuum systems, and the user of the equipment was wearing an air tank with a respirator system that so he wouldn't be breathing that material in. Many of us have heard of people who have been breathing a tremendous amount of sawdust, or the most common one is the black lung disease that the miners, coal miners, that would acquire as a result of working around the coal in the mines when they were mining that. So start with the rough and then build on up. May take you a period of time in order to get the smoothest that you may need from that standpoint. Many of us use clamps in order to clamp various items together, whether it's gluing or just holding pieces together. And one of the prevalent clamps that are used are called C-clamps. That is a lot of metal to metal in that case. So you have sort of a corkscrew, not a true corkscrew, but you have the threads on one end. You have a rotating mechanism at the bottom of that holds the thing so you don't punch large holes in the item that you're clamping together. And if it's made out of metal or steel, it may tend to get a little rough as time goes on. Metal does rust, if it's especially of an iron capability. Aluminum won't rust, but it can corrode. So you may want to use some oil on the rotating parts, that so it will work extremely easy from that standpoint. And that'll make your sticky situation in that case work a lot better. It's not good to have the item that you're pressing it together and then the mechanism that's holding it in place also turns. That's going to put a nice mark on your wood format. What you may want to do is get yourself a piece of scrap wood and put that on the metal, or put it on the piece of wood you're trying to clamp together, and allow the metal clamp itself to impinge upon the piece of the wood, and therefore you can really crank it down and not damage the wood you want to preserve. You can also make clamping and assembly stands. You probably have a lot of scrap pieces of wood around, and we use those quite regularly to hold cabinet doors in place when we're doing certain things, or fillers that we need to stain on one end. And so a lot of these things are very easily produced. You can nail boards together. You can cut slots in them. That slot, technically speaking, is actually called a dado. And so with that slot, you can slide in the piece of wood. One thing to remember, though, that's a learning experience for everybody. If you buy a 3/4 inch piece of plywood, guess what? It's not 3/4 inch. It's going to be something in the vicinity of a 1/16 less. Same thing if you buy a 1/2 inch. It's not going to be a 1/2 inch. It could be somewhere 1/16 inch less. And believe it or not, there are certain bits that you can purchase that will be the exact thickness of those types of woods. That is an economical savings on behalf of the lumber industry that instead of giving you 3/4 of an inch, they'll give you a 32nd less or a 16th less in order they can preserve wood and produce more of the type of wood structure that they're trying to develop. Folks, we've completed our third segment. We're on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk, and we'll see you back after the break. Folks, you're back with Maurice with A. Handyman's Haven, transmitting in the A. Handyman's Haven radio studio on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. So we're talking about some tips at the present time, and another tip I find extremely valuable is whether you use beeswax or a form of wax of some sort, which can ease the operation of a lot of pieces of equipment, as well as some other areas that I'll bring up for you here. But in a lot of equipment that slides on countertops, or not necessarily on countertops, but on wood products, it may be or may have a tendency to stick periodically, since we're talking about sticky situations. But if you put some beeswax or something like that on the bottom of the item of a sander or something that is going to be rubbing against a piece of material, also make sure that the material that you're going to put it up against is not going to stain as a result of that. But that will allow it to operate much smoother. Another thing you may want to think about is on table saws or steel tables of that nature, or band saws, whatever it may happen to be, if you put a little bit of wax on it, the board may slide a lot easier across that and keep it going truer than for what it can be. The thing that I use quite frequently when we're talking about wax, many of us from the olden days, I'm sort of dating myself in this case, but my father showed me a little trick in order to make the screws go into wood a lot easier, since many years ago we didn't have the automatic equipment that we have today. And they were either done by hand, twisting your hand with a screwdriver, or they could have been done with a, I don't even know what you call it this time period, but it was sort of like a spring-loaded drill thing where you press down and it rotated and put the screw in, or you could drill with it or whatever it happened to be, quick and easy. So if you take the screw, and I've done it on soap, is what my dad first taught me, you put bar soap, just grab your screw and scrape it across bar soap, and then put it into the wood product that you're using. Today what I use, other than using wax and that nature, I get a wax ring that goes on the underside of a toilet that prevents the water from seeping out in your bathroom. And that is an excellent source of drawing the threads of a screw across it, and then end up putting it in the automatic piece of equipment and putting it in place in the screw with the proper drilling of the holes from that standpoint. So that's an important use of that nature, and we'll keep you on track from that. Again, we invite you to call in with any questions that you may have at 520-790-2040. Getting back to some other items that may be of importance to a lot of us, I'm going to talk about some eco-friendly flooring. I don't have too much time to do that as we're winding down to the end of the program here, but one piece of flooring that is sort of eco-friendly, as the latest term is being used, is bamboo flooring. Bamboo has become increasingly popular flooring, a choice because it is so eco-friendly associated with nature. It's easy to find, it's non-toxic, as well as the VOCs, which is volatile organic compounds, and formaldehyde-free. So that is a tremendous advantage, and it's a natural product that is grown for purposes of that thing. Bamboo can be shipped from any country that grows it, and it's also found at many home centers and many flooring companies from that standpoint. So keep that in mind. The good things about it, it's easy to install, it's affordable, As far as bamboo goes, it's a good flooring option, and it's also very durable. In fact, it's more durable than wood, and it's basically incredibly scratch resistant. It can be produced in a vast array of styles, such as solid bamboo, engineered bamboo, that means they could be glued together in various layers, tongue and groove type bamboo, floating click together bamboo. There are colors available that resemble wood. Some colors that are more prominent are cherry, oak, and ash coloring. The grain structure may not be similar to a cherry or oak or things of that nature. What are the disappointment things associated with bamboo? Well, bamboo is a grass. It's not really a wood, even though we call it that. It retains moisture and doesn't work well in places prone to flooding or high humidity because the floors can give in to the warping. Bamboo also can be refinished and sanded like wood flooring can. But not all bamboo is considered high quality. Check for a third-party certification, which I think is very, very important in a lot of aspects, to make sure no unwanted chemical-containing adhesives or finishes are used. The unwanted chemical and the chemical-containing adhesives, unwanted chemical-containing adhesive and finishes are very important. They can develop off-gassing from that nature. And off-gassing itself is not favorable for many, many people. As you know, the Environmental Protection Agency has standards that are prevalent for off-gassing. And many of us know, due to the automobile industry, that the state of California has more stringent EPA requirements than any other state in the union. Being that is in mind, even though that is the case, there still could be minor off-gassing. When you purchase a product, if it is marketed in California or produced in California or using woods that come from outside of California or techniques, the item should be labeled as CARB. That stands for the California Air Research Board, or CARB as we call it, and it should say at least phase two with today's nomenclature. Our cabinets are labeled as phase two. We have certification on those cabinets, as well as all the products that we use at A Handyman's Haven. So cork is another product that is used. It has it's a very unique product in that it's biodegradable. It's a good flooring option. It provides great insulation, like most cork does. Is very soft and comfy under your feet. It's made from the bark of the cork oak tree, Quercus suber, if you're interested in the Latin determination or the wordage of that. And it's found in the Mediterranean mostly. The cork is harvested without harming the tree, which is very interesting. So you don't have to replant a tree when you cut down all the cork that's on it. One of the good points is for people who love walking barefoot at home or tend to stay on their feet for long periods of time because of its insulation quality. It provides the light feel of carpet without the unwanted dust and hair buildup and all the other dirt that gets infested in carpeting. It's easy to install and maintain. It's hyperallergenic, which means you should not be allergic to it. It's very durable. It's fire resistant. And also, it's sound suppressing in that it reduces the impact of noises. So cork is very good from that standpoint. It's insect, mold, and mildew repellent. And it has insulation qualities that can help cut down heating costs, especially if you're on a second floor or you have a concrete floor or things of that nature. It can also be refinished just like wood and coated with a UV cured acrylic finish. That's ultraviolet cured acrylic finish. Ultraviolet means that the sun is not going to impinge upon the cork. The disagreements or the downside of it is cork is not the best option for, I hate to say this in a way, pet-friendly homes, as it is easily susceptible to damage by the cats and dogs. I don't know about some of the pets that you folks may have, but My dogs are always scratching the flooring or scratching the carpeting, whatever it may happen to be. They run around in circles in a little small circular item trying to figure out where I guess they're going to lay down, and they scratch, 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 scratch till they get it to where they want. To keep the color intact on coat flooring, it must be sealed every 5 years. Folks, we're coming to the end of this program. It's been enjoyable being with you. Come on down to A. Handyman's Haven and take a look at us. We'll give you a tour. Next on the program is Jeff Prather from a hiatus of last week. He's got some interesting information on some of the calming effect going on in the United States. Ha, ha, ha. Take it away, folks. We'll see you next week.